You are listening to WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM, your community station. Listening to WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM. Conversation Digest has arrived. It's your verbal extravaganza as well as your gateway to the weekend as well as Party Central.
Party Central.
K-Man, how's it going this evening?
Pretty crappy.
Just so that you're aware, listening audience, this is a pre-recorded programming. It is new programming but pre-recorded. I have a work schedule that does not allow me to be here every Friday night. In fact, of the last five Friday nights came in, I believe it has been live once, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you are correct, sir.
But by the graces of the K-Man, he is here this evening, which is not really Friday, but in the case of this pre-recorded program, it actually is Friday. The show is on the air tonight, and it is being pre-recorded Thursday evening, which is right now, but because the K-Man is in the WNRBLP studio.
I'm sitting there like a loser right now.
Playing a pre-recorded program, but that's okay. And don't forget, we got the K-Man's Friday Night Lullaby Explosion starting up just after Conversation Digest, right around 10 o'clock. And just so that you're aware, after this new programming hour of Conversation Digest, we have 2 hours of best moments of Conversation Digest. 1 or 2 hours. So there's 1 hour or maybe 2 hours if it happens that way of Conversation Digest of new programming, and then after that, best of moments directly after, from 9 probably until 10 o'clock or otherwise from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock. We'll decide as we progress here towards the top of next hour. Right now it's just a little bit after 7 o'clock on this Friday evening, and there's a lot to talk about right now. Okay, man, what do we got? What do we got you on right now?
Underwriters.
Okay.
Do I need to boot that up or you can't remember?
Yes, you do. I cannot remember. We cannot do programming. We can't even have a radio station without funding. And due to the courteous nature of certain businesses of the local area, we are able to get financing or funding from these very pleasant people. Donations. We're a nonprofit organization. The WNRBLP station is broadcast live or sometimes through a loop out of the Wausau area Hmong Mutual Association right here in Wausau. We're a 6-watt station, not very powerful, but the message is always powerful. And who are the underwriters, K-Man? Who do we have to thank to help keep us running? Oh, there we go. Thanks a lot, K-Man. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir.
WNRBLP Wausau sponsors, underwriters. These are the fine businesses that keep us going. Wayne Steering Insurance, All American Taxi, Today's Furniture and Mattress Advantage of Stevens Point, Elder Sanctuary, and finally, but not last at all, Hmong Quality Home Care. All of those businesses, thank you so much for helping to contribute to the financial stability of WNRBLP. And as aforementioned, we are the verbal extravaganza.
Party Central.
The condition, and that's the K-Man, who just obviously said that it is Party Central. It is indeed. Without us, there is a weekend. It just may not be as good. We've got
It's never as good. I've tried it.
You've been on the air here just about every single Friday night for the last 3 years. Do you realize that? You've missed a couple nights, maybe 7
well,
or
Well, it's
maybe
kind of highly depressing.
Hard-hitting news up in just a moment, as well as what we saw on the way to the studio. Once again, we're pre-recorded from the Conditions headquarters this evening in Wausau.
Oh,
I won't disclose where. I don't need groupies finding out where I live and bombarding me with love letters.
Not again, at least.
Email Mary. Hey, guys. When are you doing the cold and flu episode? You've talked about it in the past. You did one last year. When's it going to happen again? Mary, it's going to happen next week, and I'm glad you
finally
remember.
Finally a cold and flu episode.
We'll do the cold and flu. That is a guaranteed response by me. We will do that probably next week. Cold and flu
would
episode.
It be live? Is it going to be live? Live?
I was hoping. I find out soon if I can do that next week live or not. So cold and flu next week on Conversation Digest. If it's live, look for a two-hour episode. If it's pre-recorded, probably 2 hours then as well. I have a very busy schedule, and it's tough to get on here, but we do get on every week, whether we're pre-recorded or not. So, hard-hitting news. We've got a Wasp Daily Herald story about soup that is tainted with bugs.
Ugh.
At the Everest schools.
That's disgusting.
Weston, D.C. Everest area school district officials pulled all of its soup from student lunches today after bugs were found in it, with little Timmy saying, I quote, "Miss, there is a fly in my soup." He didn't say that because there is no Timmy. That's a made-up part of the story.
There could be a Timmy at the school.
There probably is, but the kid did not say, "Miss, there's a fly in my soup." We don't know what kind of bugs they are, but what happened was Jack Stoskopf Jr., the district's assistant superintendent of business and personnel services, said a couple of high school students found a few small brown bugs during lunchtime today. After they reported the incident, servers immediately stopped serving the soup in all district schools. He said about 40 to 50 students were served the soup. This should be in the
Yikes.
I don't give a crap moment of the week, really.
That's kind of scary, almost.
Well, Stoskopf did say, "Our storage area is very clean. It's an anomaly situation." Apparently, we're talking Star Trek lingo here instead of soup. That would be my take on it.
They're going to inverse the tachyon beam?
I mean, I'm not trying to be overly critical here, but why would the district assistant superintendent talk about soup in this way, saying it's an anomaly situation?
Came in.
Am I overextending my analysis situation? Here? Would you say it's an anomaly situation?
Something must have gotten through the screening process of some sort.
Well, he doesn't have a talent agent. He doesn't really have representation. He's the district's assistant. He's the district's assistant superintendent of business. Now, I would ask, sir, Mr. Stoskopf, by all means, I'm not trying to be rude here, but if you'd like to call in sometime next week when we're live, 715-842-8390.
Extension 210.
Extension 210. You're more than welcome. I would just like to know about your choice of the word anomaly in relation to a soup bug outbreak. I think that perhaps he should have said it is it's an isolated situation.
I think he's trying to sound way too smart for his own good.
I agree. But maybe it's just the only thing that popped in his head.
I know
so.
Big words.
No, I think he probably had a few moments to prepare his statement as well. So, district officials think the bugs were on the exterior of boxes of noodles that were added to the soup, and they could have fallen in the food, Stoskopf said. School officials immediately notified the Marathon County Health Department, which said that it was unlikely that students could get sick from eating the soup, Stoskopf said. Now, if it's anything like the school lunches I ate as a child, it's not from the flies or the bugs or whichever kind of bug it was that they would get sick. It's from the soup itself. Because if they're anything like regular, typical student lunches, then they're not all that wholesome in the first place, at least so long as I am used to.
Now, when I was a child,
really, yeah, I was, there were certain meals that you knew better than to touch. Typically at my school, it was the tuna noodle casserole, the square meatloaf lunch. It was a cube. It was a square. And I remember we never had Salisbury steak. Never had Salisbury steak, so. No, it was the meatloaf, and it always had little onions in it. Now, they had an outbreak. In case you aren't aware, we're broadcasting pre-recorded from the Conversation Digest Conditions headquarters in Wausau. I will not disclose where, because like I said earlier, do not need groupies trying to find me. Leah is in the room, and her friend is in the room as well. Kara, would you like to say hello to the listening audience? All right. So now, let me ask you a quick question. The district's assistant superintendent of business said, never mind, you both leave. Get out of here. Get lost. I was going to ask them about the anomaly situation phrase we had here, but I totally disagree with it. It's bad that we have bugs in the student lunches. I'm not saying I agree with that.
I thought we just had bugs in the kids' hair.
Well, here's the story. In Wisconsin, like every other state in America, it seems like right now we have a bed bug infestation. Is there a chance that one of these kids, I'm not saying they're filthy, I'm not saying they're dirty.
I am.
They take a bath in their homes, they come to school. Could the bugs have hopped off of one of these kids that may or may not have an infestation going in their hair or in their clothing.
There's a very good bet that it could have.
So why is it that we just assume, why is there an automatic assumption that these bugs, whether they were in the soup or not, that they were a bug infestation that started at the school?
Well, that's where they first noticed it. Otherwise, where else would they find it from?
I don't believe that it is an anomaly situation. Can we get the definition of an anomaly, please? I would appreciate if you would drag that up, please, off of Wikipedia or Dictionary.com or whichever, and just find out what that means. Because to me, an anomaly is something that's very atypical, but strange and weird and not heard of. Bugs in soup or bugs in soup does happen on occasion. So it can't really be referred to as an anomaly. And for those of you wondering why I'm struggling to make ends meet with the situation with this statement, it's because I just think it's an odd statement to make. He's not the super...
Anomaly is a fictional character in the DC Comics universe.
No, see, that is not the kind of definition that I'm looking for, K-Man.
A deviation from the normal or common order or form or rule.
Okay, well, I guess it does work. I just don't like it being used that way. He's not the superintendent of business at Harvard. It's at DC Everest Area School District. Okay, well, whatever. I mean, the main story is...
A change or deviation from what is considered typical.
It does work. I guess I'm used to the word anomaly being used in Star Trek, and I'm not a Star Trek nerd, but... Hard-hitting news coming up in just a few moments here. Hard-hitting news section 2 of the first hour of Conversation Digest.
I think you just cemented yourself as a Star Trek... aficionado.
No, because you play that show sometimes when I'm around, and I have referred to you as a Trekkie, as a nerd, but when you play Star Trek when I'm around, I pick up on certain words and phrases that they say.
I very rarely play that when you're around.
Well, you have on occasion.
Not the Grand. What is that one place called? The Grand Canyon? It's not the Grand Canyon. It's not the Taj Mahal. It's not something that even matters. It's just what we saw on the way to the studio.
So right now, on the way to the studio, what we saw on the way to the studio each and every week at 12 after the hour or thereabout on Conversation Digest, we talk about what we saw on the way to the studio or in this particular situation, as we are not live. And we did not make our way down to the WNRBLP studio in Wausau. We're broadcasting from the headquarters of the condition. That is myself. What did you see on the way to the studio this evening, K-Man, on the way over here to my headquarters?
I stopped at my brother's house and picked up my USB flash drive because I needed it. So I saw my brother on the way to the studio.
Okay.
It's nothing crazy, nothing important. I talked to him for a little bit.
I respect that a bit because, A, that's a family member of yours, and you're showing that you must appreciate his company, but also you really were just kind of using him because he had your flash drive. Or did you forget it there?
I forgot it there. Okay. I was there last night, and I was stealing music off his computer.
Was there a scenario whereby you left it there on purpose that you had a reason to go back?
Oh, no. If I didn't have to go there, I wouldn't go back there. I'm just lazy.
Okay. So that's what the K-Man saw on the way to the studio. He visited with a family member and got his flash drive and then apparently, sighed a little bit and then breathed and then walked a little bit. No offense, K-Man. There just wasn't a lot there.
I just can't.
But if you didn't see anything grandiose, then by all means, don't embellish, which you didn't, which I appreciate.
Well, yeah, and that's what I saw because that's where I was and that's what I did.
What I saw on the way to the studio, which was actually at my house because we're pre-recording, I was walking out to take the garbage out and the recyclables, which I forgot to do the last 2 weeks ago when the recyclables were last taken. I forgot to take them out. Last week, I forgot to take the garbage out, so I saw both of those items being taken out. I heard something. What did I hear that depressed me? Okay, man, you know enough about me.
Lots of bottles.
No, that didn't depress me because a lot of them were soda cans and they weren't all adult beverage bottles. I heard something that would depress me. What would depress me this time of year? Because it reminds me of what time of year it is.
You heard snow.
You don't know. See, no, Keyman, you're killing me here because obviously it's not snowing. Look at the skies. What do we have
here?
Look at my desktop.
Snow coming down.
Keyman, it's 35 degrees currently.
Snow can't come down.
There's no snow, and if it was,
I saw snow.
It would be a flurry, and I couldn't hear it, Keyman.
Oh.
It would be a flurry. I heard Canadian geese.
I hate those.
So they come down here because they know Wisconsin is a great place, but then they traverse us, they bypass us, and then they go down to Florida or where have you.
Floridia?
Where is the destination that the geese are going to? If anyone can email us and just say this is where the majority of the geese go to when winter is setting in, when old man winter is setting in, where is it
the
majority
of Capistrano?
Of the no, those are swallows, Keyman. Keyman, I think you're just trying to start a fight this evening. No offense.
I think I'm just stupid.
Are you trying to replace the other gentleman that used to be on the air with us?
Who?
Bowman and the other one. He's dead to you?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you do.
I have no idea.
Don't? Okay, I see your game. I see your angle. Okay, that was what we saw on the way to the studio each and every Friday right around the same time. And it is just an exploration into life, what we saw on the way to the studio or wherever it is we're recording, or maybe any other day. If you ever have an entry that you would like to make to Conversation Digest, what we saw on the way to the studio, by all means, email us. Keyman, how can they do that?
ConversationDigest@gmail.com. Jam it into your email client and fire out an email to us about anything, really.
Anything, within reason. I don't like being barraged with angry emails, which has happened on occasion, especially lately, for whatever reason. So, also, if you would care to listen to archived episodes of Conversation Digest, maybe peruse some creative videos that we have on there that have been made throughout the years, by all means, go to FamousAshtray.com. That's all one word, FamousAshtray.com, where we have archived episodes. The K-Man has put a lot of episodes, over probably 50 episodes on there from the past year and a half.
There's a buttload.
There's a lot of them on there. And like I said, videos and many other things that you can do. Not all that interactive because, why would it be? You can do an email, and how interactive do you want it to be? Email Mary, certainly. We certainly have her emailing us on a regular basis. The majority of the time, she just irritates me, and she just flirts with the K-Man.
And it's disgusting.
Never met the lady, but I'm sure it'll happen at some station event or what have you, so... At that point, we'll thank her and then ask her to please not communicate with us at all. But we're encouraging her, if not enabling her, by reading her emails on the air every single week.
Yeah, I don't know why we do that.
Well, she had a good point. She said, when is the cold and flu episode going to be played this year? Because we have mentioned that throughout the year. The last year, we have mentioned that we would, in fact, do that again.
Well, we need to inform the populace.
It's going to have to happen. It's one of the best episodes we ever had in our history of Conversation Digest. We've been on the air for roughly 3 years. One of the best episodes we ever had was the cold and flu episode, whereby we gave statistical analysis. We talked about what is a cold, what is a flu. There are differences, FYI.
Was that the one where Bauman ripped up the guidelines?
It could be.
But, that was crazy.
Well, that was a moment in our history. Other real quick episodes from the past year deal with many things, but... A lot of the same things, America's trends, America's ever-browning and yellowing landscape. Of course, the landscape changed a few iotas over the past couple days with the elections on Tuesday. More on that issue coming up in just a few moments from the Wall Street Journal. Obama concedes shellacking. That'll be up in just a bit. And also much, much more, including the I don't give a crap moment of the week, which we'll get into right now.
Woo!
This is usually 15 to 20 after the hour of the I Don't Give a Crap moment of the week on Conversation Digest.
Well, thank you, Kansa.
The I Don't Give a Crap moment of the week brought to you by common sense and a lack of patience. Wisconsin DOT suspends work on high-speed train. This is from the Wausau Daily Herald.com. I'm not reading the actual newspaper, but rather the website where the newspaper's articles are featured. Madison.
Oh, are you okay?
Yeah.
Cold and flu episode?
A week too soon, I guess. A lobbyist says the Wisconsin Department of Transportation has told the contractor to suspend work on the high-speed train line connecting Madison and Milwaukee. Pat Goss.
That again.
Yeah, but this is good news, K-Man, because the listeners will remember ever so often we get into politics in the show, but... This was more of a financial situation here with the high-speed train that really our last governor, who is no longer the governor, he conceded the spot, and now, of course, Scott Walker, Republican, is now the governor. Who knows how he'll do? I have no idea. I know nothing about the man. But the real thing that Doyle, our last governor, James, was it James Doyle? Jim Doyle?
Jim Doyle.
Jim Doyle. I guess I never really heard him referred to as James Doyle. But he really that wanted to do
odd.
The high-speed train between the two cities, Milwaukee and Madison, and my concession, it was always my concession, that despite the fact I hadn't really ever ridden on a train or rode on a fast train, I rode on a regular speed train, despite the fact that I had never really, I'd conceded to the fact, never been on a fast speed train of that nature, I felt that it was an unnecessary endeavor to spend millions and millions of dollars, an $810 million project, which, by the way, it would eclipse that number. You understand this, K-Man? Because all these estimated amounts, $810 million, it's a projection. It would not be an accurate number. It would not be depicted accurately. But it would surpass $1 billion. And that was months ago. And, of course, now we see that the plan to build a high-speed train might, in fact, be derailed. So we chose a candidate, and of course, a lot of the stuff in Wisconsin will now change. Pat Goss, executive director of Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association, says that the department sent an email Thursday to contractor Edward Kramer and Sons, telling the firm to suspend work on a stretch of tracks in Jefferson County.
Yikes.
Goss says the department did not say why the work should be halted, or if the project is being scrapped altogether. The email comes just 2 days after the election of Republican Scott Walker as governor. Walker has vowed to kill the $810 million project, which is to be built with federal stimulus funds. Outgoing Governor Jim Doyle has tried to lock the project in place before leaving office. And of course he is. That was one of his main...
His babies?
One of his main things is he wanted to get the high-speed train going before he wanted to enable the promise. He wanted to enable the commitment to the project, which would on paper spend cost $810 million, and then of course it would eventually eclipse $1 billion. But he said, look, I don't want to run again. He said, look, I don't want to run again. He did not run again, and he just said he conceded this spot pretty much to either the Republican or a Democrat, whichever won the election, and of course a Republican did win, and with Pat Goss, executive director of the Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association, saying that this particular department, which is the Department of Transportation, an email has been sent suspending the project potentially for good.
That's just weird for some reason.
Well, why can't there be an explanation as to why it is? Now, some people would say that the real fear here is a loss of jobs, but do we understand that the train itself would not have been built in America, which in and of itself is a mistake, because if you really care about jobs, the train would have been built in America. Will pop, knock it off!
She's going crazy in the basement steps.
She's been doing that lately. I don't know what's going on. Okay, so this just in, Beyonce has Thanksgiving special on ABC.
Oh, no.
But also, this is part of the I Don't Give a Crap moment of the week. Mary Tyler Moore.
She's still alive?
Who is probably not related to Michael Moore. What up, Pat? My little mini schnauzer scratching at a door, going to the basement. There's water down there leaking out of a pipe, and my theory is that she wants to drink it. She's thirsty. She's always thirsty. You know how Will Pop is with that. So TV Land is reuniting Mary Tyler Moore with her 1970 sitcom sidekick Betty White.
Oh,
Betty White should never be referred to as a sidekick, FYI. The network announced Tuesday that Moore will guest star in the second season premiere of White's hit comedy, Hot in Cleveland, which I have not heard of. TV Land says the episode will air in January. Moore's guest appearance will be the first time she and White have acted on screen together since the Mary Tyler Moore Show went off the air for more than 3 decades ago. On that classic sitcom, Moore was an assistant news producer at a TV station, while White played the host of a homemaking show On Hot in Cleveland. White plays a landlady, three eccentric best friends from Los Angeles who moved to Cleveland.
Eccentric?
Well, she, you know, the actress isn't eccentric, but the lady she plays. It also stars Valerie Bertinelli, Jane Leaves, and Wendy Malick. And that was another momentary portion of the I don't give a crap moment of the week because, frankly, I don't care about Mary Tyler Moore. I really don't care about her guest appearance on Betty White's program. But Betty White does have a better association, perhaps I would refer to it as a better natural form or approach to comedy than Mary Tyler Moore ever had. Moore was the sweetheart of the 70s. What's she done for us lately? What has she really done?
She's gotten old.
She's gotten very old. She looks older than Betty White, so far as I can tell. Drop a picture here, K-Man. We'll see a picture of Betty White as of late and then a picture of Mary Tyler Moore. And, of course, we had the symbolic throwing of the hat, which is ridiculous. What is she, graduating from college or high school? You know, at the end of the intro to Mary Tyler Moore show, she throws her hat up in the air like it's some sort of symbolic salute to life and liberty and whatever. The show wasn't that good. A lot of those shows back then that were revered by people weren't that good. Do you understand that about sitcoms back in the 60s and 70s? What was so groundbreaking about the Lucy show?
Holy Botox, Batman!
Okay, she looks old. I rest my case.
Whoa!
You ever seen the movie Terms of Endearment?
Plastic surgery, man.
K-Man, have you ever seen Terms of Endearment?
No, I have not.
Mary Tyler Moore was in there. Watch that film, and I want to bet you that you will cry. You will cry when you watch Terms of Endearment, and it's a sad film, and it has Mary Tyler Moore in it. I think that's the film. Take a look. Would you take a look, please? And it's a situation where a kid dies. I don't remember if it's cancer.
What was it called again?
Terms of Endearment.
Terms of Endearment. Wow. No, that's Shirley MacLaine.
Really?
Yeah. And Deborah Winger and Jack Nicholson.
Wait a minute. Okay, what movie am I thinking of?
I guess I'll look up.
It's not Terms of Endearment, then. What is it? I saw that one. What was that? Okay, that was with Shirley MacLaine. You talk about off topic. Why am I doing this evening? The point is, I don't know where to go. Crayfish hunters eat what they kill.
How
well,
old is this
who
movie?
Who doesn't? It was from the 60s or 70s. It was an Oscar winner. Best Picture. Sparky Anderson dies at age 76.
60s?
It's 70s. It was in the 70s. They had Mary Tyler Moore in it. Go to imdb.com.
I'm there, yo.
Okay, so really, what else do we have here? Of course, Michigan, hard-hitting news on Conversation Digest. Michigan, which is seeing enormous economic situations, bad situations, especially Detroit. Never lived there, but I feel like I have lived there with my economic standing.
It won an Oscar.
I believe it won an Oscar for Best Picture. It was about a kid that died. So Michigan announced a ban on caffeinated adult beverages that have caffeine in them, as previously mentioned. That was today on Thursday. And it's one of the strongest responses yet by a regulator to rising public concern in the U.S. over the drink safety. The move by Michigan Liquor Control Commission follows a series of widely publicized incidents in recent weeks in which students in states such as Washington and New Jersey were hospitalized for drinking Four Loko, a fast-growing brand. Some of the drinkers who became sick also had consumed other alcoholic beverages. Several schools, including the University of, and of course, for this particular article, I would have to subscribe, K-Man. So this is a teaser. This is a tease by which I will not fall for. It is a tease to get me to subscribe to the portion of, to subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. I don't have any subscriptions. I don't even subscribe to the TV Guide any longer.
Ordinary people?
Yes, ordinary people. Watch ordinary, no. Is that the one where a kid dies? Is it?
I don't know.
Read the bio on it, K-Man. I'm going to need you to...
He was in that movie, and it won an Academy Award.
Must have been Ordinary People. That's the one. Watch that film and see if you don't cry. Michigan announced the ban on caffeinated adult beverages with caffeine in them, of course, Thursday. That was today. And they wanted to do that probably before Friday when everybody would really want to drink. And the key line here is that it happened in Washington and New Jersey. Now, this did not happen in Michigan. Now, we have students which drink not only this brand drink, Four Loko, but also other adult beverages came in. Now, we had something like this, of this nature, back in the 30s, under the title of Prohibition. We had money coming in illegally after the ban of alcohol, of liquor, and every other form of alcohol back in the 30s. We had people like Al Capone making money off the illegalization. It was no longer legal, of alcohol. Now, do we have people dealing Four Loko and other caffeinated adult beverages, other caffeinated liquors? Do they buy the stuff illegally? This is the argument for the marijuana issue, isn't it? Well, if you legalize marijuana, you'll remove the profit margin, and then people won't really want to sell it any longer because they won't make an enormous profit. The Four Loko and every other caffeinated alcoholic beverage will be a black market item. People will sell it and make a larger profit, and we have students who drink not only the Four Loko, which is a beverage that is adult, K-Man.
Okay.
Keep up with me here.
Okay.
Pick it up. High energy.
You.
When was the last time I gave you one of those?
Never.
So now they drink not only the Four Loko, which is a fast-growing brand, but also many other adult beverages. The kids got sick, and here's a clue in the event that you've not ever been drunk. I don't care what type of alcohol you drink, and also if you drink too much soda, if you eat too much cake, if you eat too many apples, you get sick. That's how it happens. It's called a hangover with alcohol, with other food items or other beverages that aren't really adult-oriented in the way that they have alcohol in them. You get sick. It's what happens when it's called gluttony. You understand the nature of gluttony. You do too much of it. If you smoke too many cigarettes, you might get sick. And I don't mean on a long-term basis. A heavy smoker, I know one, I won't mention his or her name. If they smoke too many cigarettes in a day, as opposed to one pack, but five packs, they would get sick. And of course, we have a heavy movement in America to get rid of cigarettes as well. This is one of many things that are being attacked in America because the government has nothing better to do than to grab up our money in the form of taxes
and tell us every other problem.
Which products that we can and can't use. Now, here's another story. You take a Red Bull or you take any other energy drink that is currently on the market. You can take a glass of whiskey or a glass of beer or a glass of just about any
alcoholic beverage?
Correct. You can mix that by yourself. You don't need to buy a can or a bottle at the store that has the mixture already concocted. It's called mixture. You buy adult beverages, you buy energy drinks, and you mix them yourself. You grab a spoon, you grab a stir stick or a straw, and you mix them yourself. Michigan, I am very disappointed with you. Not only do you have sports teams that I can't stand. Well, I like the Detroit Tigers, kind of. I just kind of do. And Sparky Anderson died. He was the former Reds manager and also the Detroit Tigers manager. He died. So what would Sparky Anderson say about this?
Probably crying.
K-Man, do you agree with the getting rid of these caffeinated alcoholic beverages Thursday because some students got sick?
Why don't they just ban alcohol because students get sick?
Were the students drinking legally?
I have no idea.
And I'm going to need to do some research here. What kind of sickness these kids, what kind of sickness did they really fall victim of? No one has ever written an article of me having a hangover. Have you ever had a hangover on a weekend, K-Man, gotten up the next day and picked up the Was Daily Herald and said, look, the K-Man had too much rum last night. We need to make that illegal.
Wow. No, I have not.
Have you ever eaten too much Chinese food, woken up the next day, had a horrible stomach issue, and had it made illegal because you got sick from it?
No, I've never made things illegal that I've gotten sick from.
So what kind of sickness constitutes a complete ban in Michigan of adult beverage mixed with caffeinated drinks? What kind of sickness necessitates the complete banning of those types of products?
Oh, we can't deal with this. Let's go get Jesse to ban because we can't see our kids to stop doing it.
they are sick. And, you know, Willipop, she eats too many treats on occasion. I've seen this happen, and she vomits. She proceeds to vomit. Am I going to go out for Alpo or Bagen strips because they're making her sick? Because she ate too many of them. That's what doggies do. That's what people do. Do we understand the bug? What people do, especially younger people that can't hold their liquor, apparently, they get sick because they have an overabundance. This is probably more of a scenario where maybe these kids were trying to look cool in front of their own classmates, in front of their own comrades. And
it's their own fault.
That word, but, well, we don't really know the nature of it.
Oh, I'm just going to go ahead and assume it's their own fault.
They drank too much. If the kid had one small sip and it made them sick, there might be an evaluation there. But the FDA, do we understand about the FDA? There are drugs out there that are passed that are said to be okay by the FDA that make people sick every day of their lives. Of course, they ban them eventually.
Well, some drugs have more side effects than what they cure or repress.
Can we find out about a little bit of Love Book 4 Local, please? Can we just find out about that a little
bit? How was that spelled?
4, F-O-U-R, and then space, and then Loco, L-O-K-O. Wikipedia that, if you would, please. Hard-hitting news.
Whoa.
Conversation Digest. What do we
That's
have here?
12% alcohol, yo.
That's not too bad. Let's find out a little bit more about it, K-Man.
Where can we get this stuff? I want to try it.
Well, see if you can order some. What I mean, this is just going to help their orders, probably. Not in Michigan, but what do we find out about hard-hitting for local?
Hold on, let me read this. The drink has come under major fire as colleges and universities across the nation have begun to see injuries and blackouts due to the drink's use. Probably because it's 12% alcohol. It's a little bit over what the like the random light beers of the drink is, like 3.5%. Wow.
So does it have anything to do with the nature of the drink because it's mixed with a caffeinated beverage?
On November 1st, 2020, nope. Oh, 20.
I didn't know we were there yet, but okay.
2010, both Boston University and Northeastern University Health and Counseling Services in Boston, Massachusetts, also released campus-wide alerts stating that the beverage contains an unhealthy combination of alcohol and caffeine. Like a speedball of sorts. But my guess is that they're not used to having the 12% alcohol. Yeah. Wow, 12%.
Do you hear about this being a problem in Wisconsin? Ted Kennedy, that was in Boston, Massachusetts. Ted Kennedy.
You don't hear
was always
anyone
drunk.
In Wisconsin.
No. Well, there are some situations
well,
where.
Well, that's extreme usage, but. In Michigan, where they're not all up in that, they're going to be.
So we're going to put a company out of business because some people have fallen ill. I, of course, feel horrible about it. Do you want students to feel sick, K-Man? I don't. I don't want them to feel
not
sick.
Not on purpose. That doesn't sound good, did it?
Well, no, I guess I know what you meant by that, but I don't agree with making it illegal. Maybe there are some disagreements out there. By all means, email us at conversationdigest@gmail.com. If 4 Loco should be taken off the market, if 4 Loco should no longer be sold at local markets or grocery stores or otherwise gas stations, let us know what you think. Don't call 842-8390 extension 210. This is a pre-recorded episode of Conversation Digest, and hopefully next week we'll be back live and it'll be a longer program. Tonight's new programming, I am having a horrible time here, K-Man. Tonight's new programming portion shall be around an hour long, and of course,
we're dropping to an hour now?
I can't do more than this tonight, K-Man. I'm struggling here. I am struggling.
It's okay.
So what kind of repercussions does Tuesday's election, and otherwise moreover the elections all across America, have on the Obama administration? Some say very little. Back in, I think it was 95 or 96, Bill Clinton lost a lot of the congressional seats. That is, a lot of the Democratic-held seats were lost to Republicans. But if nothing else, it was a pivotal moment in the Clinton administration because whether people want to admit it or not, he was horribly resurgent, that is, wonderfully resurgent if you're a liberal Democrat, and ended up having a pretty strong presidency as far as history is concerned. I disagree with a lot of those claims because I feel he probably rode the coattails of the internet craze. That's back when the internet was making a lot of money for a lot of people. Now,
before
not
the dot-com
so much,
crash, because, wow, that was pretty
It was
awesome.
Horrible. And also, we were at relative peace, although that relative peace, some would argue that it probably led to a lot of terrorist activity. We weren't going after those terrorist cells. He avoided the necessary fights. You know, the nerd can't always afford to avoid fights, because if you let the fight build up too much, the bully wants to beat the snot out of you even more. So you kind of just want to take a quick beating on occasion and just get it over with. K-Man, you know what I'm talking about. You were beaten up all the time as a kid.
Not physically.
So,
well, I was punched a lot.
Okay, you were made fun of a lot, as was I. So, but that's probably why I have so much to say now, because I had a lot of built-up frustration. And back then as a child, I didn't swear nearly as much as I do now. In fact, back then I thought swearing was a sin. Now I believe it's a way of life.
Now I can't get you to stop swearing.
Yeah, you know, it happens. As long as I can avoid it on the air.
When you're on the air, you're pretty good with it.
I don't swear too much on the air. Is that your point, or are you saying that I'm good at swearing a lot on the air?
Well, over the years, there have been slip-ups.
Okay, there have been. Maybe we can have a best-of episode whereby we play all the slip-ups. So,
with the big F?
No. That never happened. Well, one, that gentleman is no longer on the air with us. And he's the one that did that, so...
I meant the friend word. Friend.
Oh, I didn't mean that. Oh, yeah, friend. So, here's the story. It does impact Obama worse for various reasons, and I won't get into too much, but there is a huge reason why the shellacking, as the Wall Street Journal...
There is a huge
reason why this shellacking at the hands of the Republicans means much more in the way of detriment than it did for Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton knew how to handle it. That's why. Bill Clinton had advisors that knew how to dig him out of that hole. And, of course, George W. Bush had a huge shellacking when the Democrats really regained control over the House and the Senate back during the second Bush administration. And they really, it did a lot of damage to him, because he no longer had the validity. Willem Pop, knock it off in there! See, I can't handle that. I mean, she's a cute little pooch. But her rage towards that door, I don't get it.
Well, she wants to go through the door.
She wants to go down the stairs. Through the door and down the stairs. What was that?
The hell was that?
Oh, K-Man just swore. Way to go, K-Man.
Why is playing through?
Wall Street... Is this no longer recording?
No, it's recording. Came out of the headphone.
Before I go any further, first of all, I'm frustrated with Willipop's insistence on going downstairs. I can't handle that. I don't know what to do about it. So she's a mini schnauzer with rage. She's got the rage of her ancestors. But
Germans?
The K-Man... Yes, the Germans. The K-Man ordered a brand new microphone and some new equipment that we're testing out for the first time tonight.
We're
not using the new microphone. It was a nice looking microphone. It's like when you go and you buy a brand new Pinto. It looks nice, but it could explode if you hit the car in the wrong spot. This particular microphone that the K-Man ordered, in addition, he also got one of those filters so that you cannot hear me popping my peas so much. It's on this microphone. And also he received in the mail, via his order, two stands, one of which houses or holds one microphone that he uses while on the air, and then another stand that is used by me. But the microphone doesn't work.
There's something amazingly wrong with it.
It was a horrible disfiguration of verbality when we listened to it. We were doing some test runs, which we always do when we're doing it at the headquarters of the condition. We got to make sure that this is going to record correct.
I believe it is.
So he set it aside because it just wasn't working. And so here's hoping this show actually sounds decent. I don't mean from a verbiage standpoint, but rather
a technical standpoint.
I hope it sounds good tonight. And I think it should. So we're actually on two different microphones, on two different computers we're recording on tonight at the headquarters of Me the Condition. Back to Barack Obama and what kind of impact the Republican resurgence in the House of Representatives will have. The Senate, by the way, K-Man, was not retaken by the Republicans. Were you aware of that?
I think so.
The Democrats still hold that. But it was always my point from the get-go, and I really don't endorse either party, and I shouldn't and couldn't do it on this show anyway. I'm really not into that, but besides the point, no one party should control every branch of the U.S. federal government, and that's kind of where we were getting at. The House of Representatives, the Senate, really, of course, the White House and the Supreme Court, all controlled really by one party, because that's the way it ended up, because a lot of people were angry at the Bush administration, so they were like, I'm going to vote Democrat. And then, of course, it flipped this time around.
Only took 2 years.
If you listen, right. If you listen to the people on Fox News, CNN, or MSNBC, or whichever, they're all saying, this election was a repudiation of the Obama administration.
That rhymes.
I think that if it is a repudiation, it's a very drastic repudiation. So here's a poll on the journal community, Wall Street Journal. How satisfied are you with the Tuesday election results? And according to the Wall Street Journal, which, by the way, is a very conservative newspaper from what I gather, I like to read it, so maybe it is, how many people do say they are, in fact, satisfied by the election results? And, of course, I'm not satisfied with the poll results because I can't even view the results. Here we go. So 42.2% said somewhat satisfied, very satisfied, 35%, 8.4%, somewhat dissatisfied, while 14.5% extremely satisfied, unsatisfied. Lyle Leisner, who knows where that person lives.
Ooh, alliteration.
What bothers me is there are still so many people in this country that believes that we cannot live without big government. They keep electing the same politicians that are stifling their freedoms and taxing them to death, while praising them for doing a great job. All I can say is gluttons for punishment. No, I would agree with Lyle. I would agree with that. They just keep on voting in a lot of the same people. Walter Koenig said, if you live from government or government plans, you like it. There are a lot of people that would have to go through big changes if they do not get their entitlements or salary from government of any kind. Take CA, California, K-Man,
oh,
as
I
an
understand
example.
That.
And so wraps up the reading of comments under the Wall Street Journal question of the day. How satisfied are you with Tuesday's election results?
We'll see what Willa wants.
I do know that we have a different... Oh, Willa Pop is hinting at the K-Man.
No, she wants the basement.
That she wants to... No, see, you can't let her in the basement because...
I'm not going to let her in the basement.
Because if she drinks that water, she will certainly get sick.
If she wants in the basement, then she can just sit that one out.
So, and very similar to the word anomaly before by that employee of the D.C. Everest School District. I don't exactly... Watch out for that back door, K-Man. It might pop open. Pick her up, actually, if you could, please, while you're letting her out. Very similar to the word anomaly, I'm a little bit dissatisfied with the word repudiation. The word repudiation in reference to the backlash at the Obama administration and their changing of American economics and their changing of just about everything that exists in America, so long as facets of lifestyle are concerned. America has changed exponentially in the past 2 years, and that is not a disputable argument. It has changed, and whether you think it's good change or bad change, you would have to say it has changed. And he really ran on the whole notion of change, and we got it. It's just that some people don't like that change. Hard-hitting news brought to you by various newspapers across America, whether it's local or really the United States, like the Wall Street Journal. Once again, we've got a huge program coming up next week. Hopefully it's live. It'll be about cold and flu, and we'll talk about the repercussions of, the advantages of, and everything in between flu shots. I know I have a lot of people that talk to me about how they got sick immediately after they got the flu shot, whereby I acknowledge their argument by saying that is not accurate because the flu shots we receive are inactive viruses. You cannot get sick from them unless, of course, it is the almost seemingly government-mandated swine flu shot, which isn't government mandated, but it sure as heck seemed like it last year. I won't receive the swine flu shot. So more coming up in just a few moments on Conversation Digest. Right now we'll take a quick fake commercial break on Conversation Digest. WNRB-LP Wausau 93.3 FM.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you listening there. I was just sitting here reading my book, enjoying the fruits of this world, and I thought, why not spread my love of the finer things with you, the common folk? I am Sir Henry Milton Hannington, at your service. I know of such great items and activities you could do to get the most out of your life. So I wrote a book entitled The Finer Things. Let me read you an excerpt. And then Victoria told me, Sir Henry, why take the cow outside when you can get your servants to do that for you? Brilliant! Such brilliance, beauty, and brains, I thought. But no sooner had I finished that thought than that she had let out the greatest earth-trembling release of gas a human could ever let go. The look of disbelief on my face and the look of embarrassment on hers. Oh, goodness gracious, who let the canine in here? She said, much to my astonishment. Having looked around, I noticed no canine of any breed in the room. It was me and this ghastly woman. No, Lady Victoria, I said calmly, it is you who let the dogs out. I promptly left the room and ate the most delicious cucumber sandwich ever made, while I sat on my chair made of baby seals. Ah, yes, my favorite passage. I can triumph in even the most adverse of situations. I implore you, if you wish to have somewhat the same amount of civility as me, then buy my book, The Finer Things, by Sir Henry Milton Hannington.
In a world as vast as the eye can see, one lone survivor makes his way from the terrifying mountain. Dying and weak, his people have been captured and enslaved. It will take one person, with the will and strength of a million men, to rise up. Here on in lays the tale of Tinyville, escape from Molehill Mountain. This is the story of strength, anger, rage, sadness, love, and power. Will our hero get across the vast plains of what is known as Backyard? Will he make it past the desert of Sidewalk? Does he dare climb the side of Molehill Mountain and take on the ravenous, deranged, mutated mole people? From the third assistant director's brother of Star Wars comes a tale of heroes, villains, and princesses. Starring Clem Hooftoe as Ben the Strong, Jim McHardfoot as Larry, Charlton Heston as himself, and introducing Tina Flepcart as the princess. Join them as they venture. Will you dare?
Okay, and also back on WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM, the repudiation of the Obama administration, whether you like politics or not, that is a definite issue in American politics and the news as we speak. Whose coverage was the best? K-Man, did you tune in Tuesday election night on any of the election coverage?
No, I did not.
Okay, so you ignored it altogether.
I watched the first season of Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, good gosh almighty. I can't handle Third Rock from the Sun. I just can't. Real quick, before we go any further, there is a plethora of programming throughout the week. And, of course, the week, according to the scheduling for WNRBLP, starts on Monday and goes through Sunday. Each and every week, tons of programming of a various form. Music shows, talk shows. On Mondays, we've got A Better Country with Michael Moret, I think. Maybe. I don't know. I tried to.
Is it still on?
Don't know. I'm guessing. We got Dr. Daniel News from 1 to 2 p.m. on Monday through Friday. We've got VOA Thai Radio. That's a program that is broadcast from 2 to 4 p.m. And that's Monday through Fridays. We've got Swabhivij, pronunciation possibly incorrect, in which case I apologize. Also, Carl and Chong Ku Tao, that's on Mondays from 6 to 9 p.m. And we've got many other programs, including Boogies and Blues, the Blues Doctor, he's on there. Night to Morning with Billy Vegas and Adam Streeter. Apparently, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Wednesday. Haven't heard. No, I have heard portions of that program. Does he do music on there?
Yes, he does.
Or they, or whichever. Okay, that's late at night. So in case you're up that late on a Wednesday, by all means, peruse that program. We've got a new show with an old guest, Martial Law, with an 80s throwback program. What's the
name
of that?
Retro 80s.
Retro 80s, and that's every Thursday at 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. And of course, before
what?
That.
What? No, it's 8 to 11.
Oh, 8 to 11? Okay,
yeah.
I read that wrong. And of course, that we have the good doctor, Dr. Rent. He talks everything Rent.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, friend of the K-Man, friend of me. And he does Dr. Rent's current events for Conversation Digest, but because I'm not...
If we were ever in their lives.
Haven't been out around, I hope he knows that. I don't want him being upset with me.
Oh, I've been posting on the thing, letting people know that it's pre-recorded.
Okay, did you do that this week or tomorrow? Excellent. Thanks, K-Man. I appreciate that. The mix with Kenneth McVeigh and his grandfather, Donald Gifford. That show is on from 4 to 6 p.m. on Friday. It's an earlier entrance to the weekend. And, of course, Conversation Digest, starring me and the K-Man. I'm the condition. He's the K-Man. 7 to 9 p.m. and then also 9 to 10 p.m. And that's on Friday nights. And, of course, the K-Man's Friday Night Lullaby Explosion, where he plays music you probably don't hear very often. And we've got a variety of other shows, including Hard Rock and Metal. Robert, that's actually what
The Metal Man.
The Metal Man. And, but don't worry, he doesn't rust. I thought that'd be funny, but...
Jeez.
Also got What's Left on the Table with Michael Bowman. That's on Sundays from 9 until 10. Unless
soon to make a major change.
My guess is formatting, right?
Well, with
or time. A guest host.
Yeah, well, a co-host. Second host.
Odds are he won't be on this week. I'm just going to give everyone an FYI. I'm guessing here, but the Green Bay Packers play host to the Dallas Cowboys this Friday at 7:20 p.m. My guess is Michael Bowman probably will not be on the air that night, I wouldn't imagine. But also just wanted to mention real quick, Halen to Make Whole is a program by Donald Gifford, Kenneth McVeigh's grandfather, 4 to 6 p.m. on Sundays. If you would like to host a program on Conversation Digest host station, we're hosted by, you know, I always say that, but you have to understand it's a tagline that I'm always talking about Conversation Digest this, Conversation Digest that. If you would like to host a program on WNRBLP, by all means, contact WNRBLP. Either the station manager at 715-842-8390 or otherwise, just contact the station. And we have a schedule which we have posted down there at the Wausau area Hmong Mutual Association. Scheduling involves Monday through Sunday, and there are some openings. If you'd like to host a show, just fill out a simple application, and the application process, like the application, is quite simplistic. We've been doing the show for over 3 years.
Oh,
and if
three
we can
years,
do it,
man.
Anybody can do it. And that
three
just,
whole years.
That just about wraps up the programming for Conversation Digest tonight. Don't forget to stick around. I know we have some avid listeners that hate the fact that we do the best of moments, but my schedule is such that it's very hard to do programming on a regular basis, new programming, so a lot of it has to be pre-recorded until I can make amends with my scheduling.
Good news about the best of. I'll probably just use last week's two-hour show.
Okay, that makes sense. So in case they didn't hear it last week, which a lot of people probably didn't, they can hear it tomorrow night, live, but not live.
I'll probably be in the studio like an idiot.
K-Man will be in the studio running the programs for at least an hour or two, so give him a call if you would like at 715-842-8390, especially email Mary.
I'm not going to answer.
Why not, K-Man? They're your loyal listeners. They love you. They love you, man. All right, you've been listening to a presentation of Conversation Digest.
Famous ashtray presentation.
Okay.
Presents
Conversation Digest.
You think we should do that?
Just yeah, you've been listening
famous
to...
Ashtray presents Famous Conversation Digest.
Yeah, you could probably just do Famous Ashtray Production at the end. Okay, so Conversation Digest, WNRBLP, Wausau, 93.3 FM. Your party central.
Big hit station.
Got done listening to Conversation Digest. This is the end. You can go do stuff now. Or go to the website famousashtray.com in a little bit of time to listen to again and 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 maybe one more time.